All right, that's how it's supposed to be. So I'm coming out of Luke chapter 15, verse 20 to 24. Luke chapter 15, verse 20 to 24. If you're there, say, God is good. If you're not there, say, God is still good. All right. Luke chapter 15, verse 20 to 24, and it reads, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither a fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, courage is the choice to act in the face of fear, not the absence of it. Courage is not having the strength to go on. It is going on when you don't have the strength. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7, these are some well-known verses which are some of the most eloquent and accurate description of love ever written. Contrary to popular opinion, true love is first of all a courageous commitment and an unwavering choice to care for another person. Then love in turn produces powerful feelings. When we practice the qualities and behaviors described in those verses, the Bible promises that we will experience satisfaction and fulfillment. As fathers, we must be more than conquerors. Now, keep in mind, although I'm talking to our fathers, it's still going to apply to our mothers or anybody in this congregation. But just know I'm speaking to our fathers. God has fixed the future for fathers who are saints. Fathers who love the Lord have a fixed future through the servant and son, Jesus Christ. God has prepared fathers for a glorious future. And God has fixed the fathers by glorifying us to bring the final glory. God has insulated Christian fathers with his everlasting love. Therefore, we have to recognize we are more than conquerors through him that lives in us as fathers. So if he lives in you, that means you can't be acting one way at church and another way at home. Because the goal is to make sure that your children have a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is why you and I, we have to be daddies to our children like our Heavenly Father is daddies to us. So that we can be devout men until our children as fathers, so that we can be devoted to him directing our steps. This is why we have to have an abundant living in Christ so that we can be accountable to our children. And as fathers, we have to recognize that our days are few because our days are fleeting, which means our days are fragile. This is why I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me to teach Luke chapter 15, verse 20 to 24. Because the goal of the author, who is the physician Luke, is for believers to read the passage and focus on a joyful celebration. The purpose of the scripture is for the believers to read the verse and recognize that this father's joyful response to his returning repentant son represents God's unconditional love and forgiveness. That means that's why you and I as fathers, as parents, period, we have to recognize that our days are few, which means that our days are fragile. But you won't even recognize your days are fragile if you don't understand that your days are fleeting. This is why it's time out for allowing pride to interfere with you developing a relationship with your children. When you, no matter what your kid's done to you, because if you know the story, the son disrespected his father. So even though if your kids disrespect you, you have to be humble enough to still willing to celebrate them when they change their heart around. Because God will change that situation around, but you got to be ready to receive them. This is why we have to be deep in God's love. To be deep in God's love, that means we have to be daily in God's love. You and I, we have to be yoked with Jesus, but we have to be want to be yoked with Jesus. Because when you and I are yoked with Jesus, no matter how much we disrespect it, we still have enough love to receive them. Because if you don't want to receive them because of you allowing your pride and bitterness to stop you, God looking at you disappointed. Because he says, I still receive you when you do me wrong. So if you can't even do that with your children, what am I to do with you? Let me give you an example. I was reading a story about two young boys who was walking home from Sunday school. And they was talking about sharing their ideas about the lesson that the teacher went over. And they were studying Jesus when he was going through the wilderness. So Peter, the little Peter, looked at John and he said, do you believe that story about devils? He said, do you believe devils even exist? John looked at Peter and he said, nah. He said, I think it's just like Santa Claus. It's your daddy. Oh, y'all didn't get that. If you don't treat your kids right, they're going to look at you as a version of the devil. Great fathers put their children on their shoulders so they can grab stars out of the sky. And as long as you help your children to grab stars out of the sky, they won't look at you as the devil. They'll look at you as a version of Jesus. The title of my lesson is A Father's Courage to Love. A Father's Courage to Love. Let's all approach the throne of grace together. Oh, gracious Heavenly Double Father, we approach your throne of grace, thanking you for this wonderful, glorious opportunity you allow each and every one of us to be able to arrive here this morning to receive a portion of your word. Father, we thank you for allowing us to go by the byways and the bypasses to be able to get here, oh Father, so that we can receive a portion of your word, so that we can continue to endure any hardships that come our way because you dwell in us and give us the patience that we need. Father, we ask that you help us to remove any distraction out of our way so that we, when we leave this place, we can go out and shine a light so bright that we're willing to bring more souls to Christ. Right now, we pray for Brother Fox and his family that you help them, you heal them, oh Father, where they'll be back with us at the next appointed time. But right now, Father, we ask that you will help us to run this race in the way you have indicated or shown us in your word, oh Father. No matter what's going, decisions are being made in the government, oh Father, we ask that you help us to continue to trust and rely on you. And when we receive this word, oh Father, we pray that we just don't walk out here and say, what a good lesson, but we walk out here and say, and I've been changed, where we make a difference in this world. Continue to be with us, continue to guide us and love us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 3 points I want to make this morning, and then the lesson is yours. 3 points. The first point is a cross-shaped love. A father has to have a cross-shaped love. The second point is a father has to have a covenant-keeping love. A covenant-keeping love. And lastly, the father has to have a Christ-centered love. A cross-shaped love, a covenant-keeping love, and a Christ-centered love. Look at verse 20. It says in verse 20, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. A cross-shaped love. That means when a father has a cross-shaped love, there's an expectation for the father. Not only is there an expectation for the father, there's an expression that the father must show to his family. A great father comforts his children in times of trouble. Jesus is the sort of a comfort for fathers who believe and trust in him. A great father protects his children and his family in times of weakness. Jesus becomes the protector for fathers who make room for Jesus in their life. A great father strengthens his children in times of need because it is the exalted Christ who extends his hand of strength to us as humans and more importantly to us as fathers. We must be willing to take up our own cross so that we can cast any and all fears out with his love so that we can cease from sin. And you and I, we must release his purpose in our lives so that we can redeem our souls. And this is why we must offer up an operation of trust so that we can open up the door to offer God's, to surrender to him so that the outcome can eventually be obedience. This is why I believe the Holy Spirit is leading us to teach, for me to teach Luke chapter 15, verse 20, because the goal of the author is for the believers to read the passage and focus on anticipation and forgiveness. The purpose of the scripture is for the believers to read the verses and recognize that the Father saw the Son a way off. This indicates that the Father had to be waiting and watching for the return of his Son. He had to be waiting all along. From the time the Son left, every morning he had to get up looking to see if his Son coming back. This is why as fathers, we have to be willing to offer up operation to trust so that the outcome can be obedience. But you won't be willing to be obedience if you won't even open up the door to surrender to the Heavenly Father. The point I'm trying to make is your obedience is connected to your humility. In order to be obedient to God, you got to be humble enough to act like God or to act like this father in Luke chapter 15. Notice when he saw his son far off, he didn't say, oh, I'm going to wait to him to come to me. He disrespected to me, so he got to come to me. No, the father saw him, and as soon as he saw him, he ran to him, fell on his neck, and kissed him. See, and what you got to understand is when you study the patriotic history of their ways back then, it was indignified for him, for a father of this stature to run. So in other words, it helps us to understand that when he saw his son, he was willing to embarrass himself to run to his son. Now, if we look at that, we got to be honest with ourselves as parents or even as fathers. Sometimes we'll say, oh, no, I'm not embarrassing myself with my kid. He wasn't messed up. He got to come to me. I'm not going to embarrass myself and go to him. But God looking at you disappointed because he says, I received you. I'll run to you when you messed up. And I'm ready to receive you. See, this is why we have to say yes to God as servants of obedience. Because if we say yes to God, that means however God wants us to operate in our life, that's what we do. We move all the anger and the guilt and the pride out of the way, and we operate like God. We treat others like God. We want God to treat us. This is why we have to seek out our children as fathers, as parents, so that we can show them mercy. Let me give you an example. Turn with me quickly to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to read verse 5, and then we're going to move down to 28 to 33. 2 Samuel chapter 18. In verse 5, chapter 18 of 2 Samuel, we're going to read verse 5 and we're going to move down to verse 28. Verse 5 says, and the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. Before we move to verse 28, understand this is King David talking about his son Absalom. What you have to understand, Absalom is coming against his father as the king. He's disrespecting his father. But yet the father still has enough love for him to say, hey, deal gently with my son. Look at verse 28. He says, and Amaziah called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hands against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord have avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord, the king, and all that arise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, your son dead. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept as he went. Thus he said, oh, my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom, would God I had died for thee, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. What would have happened if David would just took time and made it right with Absalom? See, that's how some of us are. We let pride get in the way, saying they got to come to us, and before you know it, time is fleeted and you don't have no more time with your children, or they don't have no more time with you. Here David is over sorrow for his child, his rebellious son. Look at verse 5 again. It says, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. If I had to pull out a point here, the first point would be, and I want you to repeat after me, church, the character of a forgiver. We need to be forgiving just like we want God to forgive us. A father knows devotion ignores discarded. So in other words, when you're devoted to God, you don't allow discord between your and within your family to stop you from making a sacrifice. Because a father has to love his family personally. We have to be able to get over whatever the issues are between our families and then love people like God loves us. Look at verse 32. He says, is the young man Absalom safe? Here's the second point of this passage. Repeat after me, church. The condition of caring. He cared about his son, but did he care enough to follow and find his son to make things right? See, a father has to know sacrifice demonstrates surrender. When you surrender to God, you're going to make all the sacrifices to make things right. Because a father has to love patiently. You got to be patient with your family. Nobody here is perfect. They're going to do something wrong to you, and you still got to love them. Because you do wrong to God every day. Don't fool yourself. Don't sit up and say, I don't do nothing wrong, Brother Sims, all right? Because you got thoughts going through your head, too. That's wrong. And that's still contrary to God. Look at verse 33. He said, would God I had died for thee, Absalom, my son, my son. Here's the third point. I want you to pray after me, church. The confidence of fellowship. A father knows that faith transcends difficulties. When you have enough faith in God, you can get past whatever difficulties that you have. A lot of y'all know when I teach Sunday school, I always talk about the issue I have with my son. My son, I've been bringing him, ever since he was young, I bring him to church, Sunday schools. But yeah, he gets an adult. He act like he don't know nothing about God. So I be on him, beating him. And my wife said, look, that ain't helping. You can't beat him with the Bible. Love him till he's just ready to come to church. Because a father's love is powerful when you have enough faith to transcend any difficulties. So So now I don't get on my son. I just pray for him. So when we interact, yes, we talk about everything else. And when he want to ask questions about God, that's when I bring it in. So you know what my prayers are, God, put it in his mind to question me about a relationship with God. See, a cross-shaped love is stretching your arms out to love and serve your children without limitations. I refuse to allow my issue with my son to stop me from loving him. Because there was a time that I wasn't even coming to church. And God could have took me up out of here. But because he had enough grace for me, then that means I got to have grace for my son. And I'm asking all of y'all to be in prayer with me about my son. That one day he's going to walk up here, not just visit, but he be here consistently. That's the first part of the lesson, the cross-shaped love, the covenant-keeping love. Look at verse 22 back at Luke chapter 15. Verse 22, verse Luke 15, it says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You and I, as fathers, as parents, as Christians, we have to examine our potential. We have to experience his power when it comes to loving our children or our family members. A covenant leads to a father's new mercy. That's the basic expression of love. A covenant leads to a father's growing in grace. That's procured by the work of Christ working in you. A covenant leads to a father's present testimony. That means we must represent Christ in every situation. His power strengthens fathers from weakness. That's why you and I, we have to purify our hearts, because we was purchased with his blood. And we have to understand that obedience is necessary, so we have to obtain an obedient ear. We as fathers, as parents, we have to reject fear so that we can receive his force, so that we can represent his fruit. This is why I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me to teach Luke chapter 15, verse 22, because the goal of the author is for the believers to read the passage and focus on unconditional forgiveness. Because the purpose of the scripture is for the believers to read the verse and recognize that the father decided not to punish or scold his son, but to have a lavish feast. He decided to have a lavish feast whereby he was willing to forgive his son and accept him no matter what he had done in the past. This is why, as fathers, we have to recognize that we have to reject being fearful. We have to reject fear of being vulnerable. Because a lot of us, when our kids do us wrong, we don't want to be vulnerable enough to go to them and still love them. We have this mindset that I'm not being used like that. Not only do we have to reject the fear of being vulnerable, we have to be able to reflect his fruit. But you won't be able to reflect that fruit if you don't receive his force. Force is just another word of spiritual power, which means you're going to need God's power to meet your children where they are. If you keep in mind, when the father ran to his son, the verses we didn't read before, if you go back and read it, he just got through eating in pig's pen. So most likely he ain't had time to clean up. But his son didn't care about that. He still went to him, fell on his neck and kissed him in this unclean state. See, some of us, if we be honest with ourselves, we'll be like, nope, they got to get right first. Nope, not forgiving them until I see them do right. But this father ran to him, kissed him. He even said to his servants, go get a robe and put it on him to show that he's still royalty. He said, go get a ring, put it on his finger so that people know he still has authority because he's my son. Go get some new sandals, put on his feet, because now my son is walking right. Let me ask y'all a question. I want y'all to be honest. Which parent in here was still even if your kid don't ask for forgiveness or apologize, you ready to go buy him some new shoes. Y'all ain't right. Y'all not right. Oh, I see some hands over there. Okay. I'm not saying this scripture saying we got to buy them new shoes, they don't forget. What I'm saying is the scripture is showing us we have to have a mindset to have unconditional forgiveness that we can be willing to buy them shoes even if they don't ever apologize. See, this is why we have to exemplify our essential reliance on our Heavenly Father. It's difficult for us to forgive people out of our own strength. We need God's power to forgive somebody. Then that way we can exemplify his exact route of how to love our children. This is why we have to receive the goodness of God so that we can reap the blessing of his joy. Let me give an example. I was reading this story about these family was trying to convince their mother to let them have a hamster. The mother said, no, because I know y'all not going to take care of it. They said, yeah, Ma, we're going to take care of the hamster. We're going to do everything possible so we can keep this hamster. So they convinced the mother. She went and let them buy a hamster. 2 months later, as the mother's keeping Danny the hamster clean, she made some phone calls. She found Danny, the hamster, a new home. So she went and brought the news to her kids. She said, I found a new home for Danny. He's getting out of here. The kids took it well. They said, we understand, Ma. One of the kids said, well, he was here for a long time, but we understand we're going to miss him. Another kid said, well, if he hadn't been eating so much and been so messy, we probably could keep him. Mother said, no, I'm standing firm. Because with me being the only one cleaning them, that's too much on me. He's got to go. So it's time for him to go to his new home. Go get his cage so we can get him out of here. And one voice at one time, they shouted with tears in their eyes, Danny, we thought you said daddy. Dads, let me help you. If your son don't see you as his first hero, or if your daughter don't see you as her first love, they gonna get rid of you. You better have some Jesus in you if you want to stay in that household. That's a covenant-keeping love, a Christ-centered love. Look at verse 24 of Luke chapter 15. He says, my son was dead, he is alive again, and he was lost and is found. Children shall feel rich in instruction with a father's presence. Children shall feel rich in the camaraderie with their father's presence. See, God provides a refuge for fathers, and God always has a place of refuge for fathers who live and serve him, or love and serve him. God provides reassurance to fathers because God reassures us that he is with us so that we can inspire our children. Quickly, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 1. We don't have time. 1 Kings chapter 1, I want to read verse. I don't want to read it. I pray that you read it at your leisure. I'm just pull out some points and then the lesson is going to be yours. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 43 to 48. If you're not familiar with this scripture, pretty much this is where David makes his son Solomon the king. If you look at verse 43, he says there's a temporary king in place because David is sick. They say, verily, our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. If I had to pull out a point here, the first point would be the beginning of a father's work. The beginning of a father's work, because a father has a plan worked out for his children because the father names his children. So in other words, when a father names his children, he knows a plan for his children. Basically, as a father, our plan is to make sure that our kids have a relationship with Jesus no matter what jobs they have. Look at verse 47. It says, and moreover, king's servants came to bless our Lord, King David. The second point of this lesson is the building of a father's work. See, a father's plan is tailor-made for his child. And a father knows his children. He knows what his children can do, what he can do. I knew my son was going to maybe struggle. That's why I was on him so tough. But when I realized that toughness wasn't working, I had to back up. Okay? That's the building of a father's work. Look at verse 48. The Lord God of Israel, which have given one to sit on my throne, the day my eyes even seeing it. The third point of this passage, the completion of a father's work. Here it is, David is saying, I'm so glad he put one of my sons I know going to fulfill my responsibility on the throne before I die. See, a father plan has to be ultimately for the child's good. Because a father never leaves his children. I don't care how old my kids get, I'm going to be there for them. If they're going to ask me for advice, I'm going to give it to them. Because I love my kids enough. See, this is why we have to delight in the love of our children so we won't discourage them from straying from God. We have to have the voice of Christ in our ears as parents so that we can be a vessel of honor to our Heavenly Father, so that we can value our relationship with Jesus. This is why I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me to teach Luke chapter 15, verse 24, because the goal of the author is for us to focus on celebrating our children. Because the purpose of the scripture is to read the verse and recognize that we have to have enough love for our kids no matter what they do to us in the past, whereby we continue to receive them. We got to be willing to celebrate them. Not to say we celebrating you for your actions, but we celebrating you so that you can be willing to want to change your mindset. And this is why we have to, as parents, have to have a dose of humility so that we can declare his glory. A father's love will always, forever be imprinted in a child's heart. And to give you an example that I never forget, as a teenager, I got my first job as a news paper route. They don't do that no more, do they? Paper route. I saw my friends doing paper route. I said, oh, man, y'all making money. They tell me how much money they make. I said, man, I'm about to give me a paper route. Went into the office. Said, I'm going to get a paper route. He said, cool. He said, I'm going to give you this route here. He said, the problem is the guy that was on this route before you didn't turn in the money. So you're going to have to work, pay that off. And then when you pay that off, then you get paid. I said, okay, well, when do the papers have to be delivered? I prefer to be delivered at least by 4 o'clock in the morning. I was desperate for money. I was high school. I got a prom coming up, senior trip. I said, no problem. I'm going to do it. So I went home, told my dad, I got a paper route, explained to him what happened. I got to get up 4 o'clock in the morning. I must have had a fear on my face because 4 o'clock is still dark. And I said, and then I told him, I said, then now whoever had to rob before me didn't even turn in the money. I got to pay that. I don't know how long it's going to take me to pay that before I even get paid. But I'm willing to do it. That first day I got up 4 o'clock in the morning, guess who was right there waiting for me? My dad. Carrying me around my newspaper route. Not only did he carry me in my newspaper route, he paid me for my newspaper route until I got paid. That's the type of father we need to have. That's the type of father I'm trying to be for my kids. Because that's the type of father, a heavenly father, I want to have a relationship with. A father's love is always forever imprinted in their kid's heart when you live like Christ wants you to live. Let me help some fathers here, and that's going to be fathers in the future. Because I made a mistake as a father that I don't want y'all to ever do. Before I became a father, I was operating out of my flesh. I want to encourage you, if you're about to become a father, you need to operate out of God's spirit. Because when you operate out of God's spirit, then you have an optimistic spirit. Because when my wife first came and told me she was pregnant, instead of being happy, I must have had this stoic look on my face. and it hurt her feelings. Because, and then I wasn't trying to hurt her feelings, because when she told me, the first thing that was going through my mind is, I'm barely taking care of myself. I'm barely taking care of you. I don't have a job to really pay. How are we going to afford a child? That's what's going through my mind. So it must have showed on my face where she was kind of upset that I wasn't as joyful as her. But if I had, now I think about, I wish I could go back and operate out of the spirit and be like, yes, we have the baby. But I didn't do that. When you operate out of God's spirit, you're not afraid of new challenges. We was going to Lamaze classes. Do they still do Lamaze classes? Everybody know what that is? That's when they teach you how to care for the baby. I'm in Lamaze classes. All the other fathers are happy about having their baby. I'm looking, trying to learn how to put the diaper on. I'm like, how am I afford all these diapers? when you operate a God spirit, you're not afraid of new challenges. And when you operate a God spirit, you trust completely in God. Because when my wife was at the hospital about to deliver the baby, I had the nerve to say, you're not ready to be a mama. Why did I say, I'm coming? Why I say that? Because of my own insecurities that I was projecting on her. So I want to encourage you fathers, make sure you operate out of God's spirit rather than your flesh. It'll make your life a whole lot easier. You've heard the word. When you operate out of God's spirit, it gives you courage because you know that you are not under the grave's power. In other words, if you've been born once, you're going to die twice. If you've been born twice, you're going to die once. What do you mean, Brother Sims? Your first birth is your physical birth. And if you don't have a second birth, which is baptism, then you're going to die twice. You're going to die physically and spiritually. If you have a second birth, which your first birth is your physical birth, your second birth is your birth into baptism, you're only going to have one death, which is your physical death. And you're going to spend eternity with heaven, with God. If you want to do that, you have an opportunity to come up here, give your hand to man and give your heart to God. Even if you have fallen short as a father or a parent, you can come up here, ask for forgiveness, and start your day new, fresh today. Whatever you need to do, you can do it as together we stand and as we sing.